again, I'm Jen DeVoe, and thanks for coming all the way here at 8:30 in the morning on a blustery day. I'm in Oregon. I work at Oregon Health and Science University, and I'm trying out this acronym, so if anybody has any other great ideas, let me know. We looked at, this is a study of children's health insurance lapses and discontinuities to gain better access through policy solutions. And again, it is a collaborative effort. Myself in family medicine, Alan Graham is actually a pediatric ICU physician who's worried about access to primary care for children, which is wonderful. And then Lisa Croyce and Janine Smith are in our state office for Oregon Health Policy and Research. So it was a collaborative effort between the state and the university folks. So as you all know, there are millions, about 9 million uninsured children. Over half in the U.S. are likely eligible for public coverage. In Oregon, we have calculated that to be about two-thirds of our uninsured children are eligible for public coverage. And for various reasons, Oregon has about a 40% churning rate where children churn on and off of our Medicaid SCHIP program during a 12-month period. And that was recently reported by Jerry Fairbrother in Health Affairs. So fairly alarming that we have kids that are eligible that are enrolled but not continuously enrolled. So as one of the study objectives, we surveyed low-income parents in Oregon to examine the association between children's health insurance coverage gaps of different lengths and parental reports of their children's access to health care services. And my colleague Alan says, no, this is not about genes and gap coverage and, you know, lengths of genes. So he gets a little bit excited about the coverage gap length. So if anybody has any other words that will work. So our study hypothesis, sort of intuitive, would be that if you have a longer insurance coverage gap, that would be associated with higher unmet need. So fairly straightforward. Our study design, and again, this was done in 2005, just a little bit of background. In 2003, the Oregon Health Plan basically began the process of dismantling, unfortunately. It was an innovative, internationally renowned program to expand coverage to our low-income adult population. Over the 10 years that it was up and running, we covered about 100,000 additional adults each year. When the recession hit in the early 2000, 2001, 2002, the state realized, oh my goodness, we need to cut back. So they made huge cutbacks in Oregon Health Plan to the adult population, not intending to affect the categorically eligible children and other members of that population. But our hypothesis overall was there were people affected. So what we wanted to do is get to a population that was eligible, and that was our food stamp population. So we surveyed that group. About one quarter of that group is not enrolled in the state Medicaid programs, although the eligibility criteria are essentially the same. Less than 185% federal poverty level, proof of citizenship, and a couple of other similar requirements. We sent out a survey. We took lots of questions off of nationally validated surveys, and then we just looked at that cross-section. We did multivariable analysis. So quickly, we did a stratified random sample. We took the total food stamp population with kids between 1 and 18, just over 84,000, randomly sampled with some oversample for rural areas and to capture those uninsured children. We had about 1,500 ineligible, about an 8,600 eligible sample. We got about 2,600 surveys completed. And this is a busy slide, I apologize, but basically we had a subgroup that responded that was demographically similar to our eligible sample. We also had all of the demographics on the entire sample because of the food stamp administrative data. So we were able to use a very sophisticated adjustment called a ranking ratio estimation to adjust for our non-responders. So we're pretty confident that this is generalizable to the food stamp population in Oregon, so to about the 84,000. So in this particular analysis, we took the length of their insurance coverage gap as our independent variable, and then our outcome variables, pretty standard access to care variables, unmet medical prescription dental needs, having no usual source of care, having no physician visits or no ambulatory care visits in the past year, and then a delay in getting urgent care that was needed. So just looking at the population, 1 in 4 of these children had a gap within the year. So there were 74% that reported continuous coverage. Of that quarter with the gap, you can see the largest percentage there had a less than 6 month gap. There was a little sliver between 6 and 12 months. 3.1 1% had over 12 months of a coverage gap. And there was a percentage there, 3.3, that never had health insurance. And I don't have a lot of reasons why that is. So just looking at the bivariate analysis, the children more likely to have coverage gaps of any length were the older ones. They were non-white. They were Hispanic. They had an employed parent. They had an uninsured parent. And they were living in the households on the lower and higher ends of the threshold, either zero income or greater than 100%, so from 100 to 185% FPL. And then just jumping right into the multivariable analysis, again, sorry, these are busy slides. The gist of it is looking at the access to healthcare services, so whatever unmet need there in the blue, so we have unmet medical care need. And if you look at it, the no gap group as the reference group, folks with less than a six-month gap were five times as likely to have that unmet medical care need. Continues on down as the gaps get greater and the never insured. A couple of interesting things to point out. The confidence intervals for the gap 6 to 12 months, greater than 12 months and never insured, were fairly wide, and that was because those groups were pretty small. So statistically, with the smaller group, you're going to have the wider confidence intervals. But of course, they're all well over 1, not crossing 1. And the other interesting thing, even though there is this kind of dose-response relationship with the longer the gap, usually the more unmet need, the group that was between sort of 6 to 12 months and greater than 12 months, they're starting to look very similar to the never insured group, which is very alarming. So I'll go ahead and just flip up through a couple more of these. This one was the unmet medical care need and the delayed urgent care. All of these adjusted for, at the bottom there, the child's age, the race, ethnicity, the household income, parental employment, their place of residence, meaning whether it was in predominantly urban or rural area, and whether the child, the parents reported that the child had a special health care need. So this goes through the unmet dental care need, the unmet prescription need. Again, you're seeing that dose response, that the longer the gap, the higher likelihood of them having these particular unmet needs. And then the third one, again, the only thing that we did find that wasn't significant was in the no doctor visits. The folks that had the very short gap, less than 6 months, were not statistically significantly more likely to have that, which you would presume that if they were to have coverage sometime in the year, they probably saw the physician at least once during that year as well. So what are we talking about here in terms of gaps or unmet need? I thought it would be useful. We had very, very rich qualitative data just from our survey, people writing in comments. One parent wrote, "I feel it's not right that a family that is trying to make it in life gets knocked back and down. My 10-year-old son lost his health insurance because I got a 39-cent raise in pay." So here's the reason for her child's gap. Here's another reason for gap. "I've heard that it's hard to find doctors who are accepting new OHP patients, Oregon Health Plan or Medicaid program. We are generally healthy, so we are risking it." So they feel like there's no access even with insurance, so they're risking having their child uncovered. And then the third one, "I was actually relieved when my husband lost his job because it made my son eligible for coverage again. There's no feeling in the world worse than trying to figure out if you should really take an injured child to the doctor or not because of lack of money." So the study had several limitations, as most cross-sectional surveys do. We had self-reported data from mail return survey, as I mentioned. We did conduct the survey in Spanish and Russian as well as English. We had a 31% response rate, and luckily we had the ability to do some non-response adjustment there. We did generalize only to our food stamp population, which is a subset of the low-income population who are already connected to one public benefit, and so they may have had higher or lower rates of unmet healthcare needs compared to the general low-income population, so we don't have the ability to generalize to that full population. And again, it's cross-sectional. These are associations that cannot be proven causal. So in conclusion, we showed at least in Oregon among the food stamp population that these high rates of churning on and off the public insurance programs, even if the coverage gaps are short, less than 6 months in this case, they may negatively impact access to health care for children. And so policy implications for this are that every effort should be made to minimize barriers to continuous health insurance coverage for children. And some of those barriers, as you all are well aware, are six-month waiting periods, re-enrollment requirements, as Oregon has every 6 months, non-coverage for parents, as we did when we terminated coverage to over 100,000 of our adults in Oregon, did actually impact the children. And a long list of acknowledgments. As I mentioned, we worked very closely with the Office for Oregon Health Policy and Research. They had a small grant from HRSA that helped fund the fielding of the survey. I was funded by ARC with the postdoctoral fellowship and now with the KO8 Career Development Award. And various other state agencies helped us get the food stamp administrative data, get the Medicaid administrative data, and lots of other folks were involved. And then for anyone interested in the full model, I put it up at the end just for you to view. There's lots there, but the main take-home message here is if you look at the gaps at the top, that's where all the significance is. There wasn't as much association with any of the other variables that we controlled for. So a few significant differences there by age, one little one there with race ethnicity categories, not a whole lot with parental employment, residence, household income, and then as you would expect, the children that had a special health care need were more likely to have unmet needs, usually because they usually just have higher need overall. Thank you.